This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
To work with us on your podcast, go to soundrebel.co.uk. Over the Influence is no longer just a podcast. Our online community is buzzing with people like you.
Oh, hi, my name's Jeanette and I'm now alcohol-free for around 150 days, which is a miracle, to say the least. I've been trying to go alcohol-free for about a decade, on and off, doing a month here, a week here, 2 months here, you know the score. But now I'm 150 days in and absolutely loving it. Life is so much better. Being part of the OTI community has helped me vastly. It's fun. It looks at what you're gaining, not what you're missing out, which was a mistake I made before. I always thought I was missing out on life when I wasn't drinking. Oh my God, how wrong was I? Life is great without a drink. Just try it.
You've heard the podcast. Now join the conversation. Go to overtheinfluence.co.uk.
Welcome to Over the Influence. It is fabulous to have you listening. Hope it's going well. Spring is here. Maybe a sober spring, actually, if you started doing this in January and you're still ploughing through. And if you are possibly finding us for the very first time, let me give you a quick reintroduction as to who the heck we are. My name is Sharon Hartley. Everybody calls me Shaz or Shazza, based in Lancashire in the northwest of England. 5.5 years alcohol free. Best thing I ever did. Decided to take a break from the booze when I was 44, just before my 45th birthday. And that's all it was ever going to be, because I thought it'd be crap. I thought it'd be boring. I thought life would be just so miserable without alcohol in it every single day. It turns out the polar opposite of that is absolutely true. I'm so glad I did it. My only regret is possibly not doing this sooner. And it's why this podcast exists. It's why our community exists, because we just want to bang on and let you know that it's all right to be sober, actually. You're not a social leper for doing that. And, you know, life can change immeasurably in so many positive ways. I'll get off my sober soapbox now and hand over to you, Ben. How are you doing, my lovely co-host?
Hello, I'm Ben. I'm 35. I live in Liverpool. I am husband to Jem. I'm stepdad to Alfie and Millie, dad to baby Leo. And I'm going to be 4 years alcohol-free in July, 3 months away now to my fourth year. And the best way to describe it, thinking about who we got on today as our guest, is that I used to sit in the pub and say things like, oh, when I was a kid, I used to climb loads of mountains. I'm going to do that again. I'm going to start mountain climbing again. And I'd just talk about it in the pub. And then I'd get to the next weekend and I'd be in the pub again. I'd wake up on a Saturday with a hangover. And I'd go to the pub again Saturday night. And I'd wake up Sunday with a hangover. And I'd say, oh, I'm going to climb mountains. But I never did. Now I do. We've just come off the back of our Scarfell Pike hike, Shaz, which you said you're never hiking again after the hail in the face and the gale force.
Strong
winds.
Choice of words. And there were good reasons for that at the time. I might change my mind. I might not.
I had the most fabulous time, because every time I get to the top of a mountain, it doesn't matter what the weather conditions are. I just think about that. I think I wouldn't be here if I'd not removed alcohol. And yes, I might be a bit cold. And yes, I might be a bit damp. And yes, my legs might hurt. And yes, I'm slightly worried about my knees on the way back down.
But apart from that, I'm here.
And that's really, apart from all of that, I have the best time doing it. And it seriously, I do things now that I wouldn't do if I hadn't removed alcohol. And it's, like you, Shaz, one of the best choices I ever made. And I think our guest might say the same thing today.
Can't wait. Can't wait to chat to our guest today. It gives us great pleasure to welcome Scott Woolley from The Wirral to Over the Influence. Scott, thank you for your time. And how the heck are you doing?
Yeah, I'm very good. Thanks. As we touched on before, this is my first podcast. So, yeah, I'm sure it'll be an interesting one, but you've made me feel very welcome. So looking forward to getting stuck in.
I love this. And I'm so pleased that you're popping your podcast cherry with Over the Influence. Is it appropriate to say that or not, Ben?
No, but Scott seems pretty chilled. So
really good stuff. Thank you so much. Scott, I think already the three of us have got in common, aside from being alcohol free, sober, however you want to describe it, is the mountains and his outdoor life. So we're going to get into all that, and where you are up to now. But for anybody that's never heard of you before, I mean, this is the first time we've spoken to you. Just tell us a bit about yourself, Scott, who you are and what you get up to.
Yeah, so just a regular guy from the Northwest. I founded Arklet last year at the start of Dry January. Arklet is like a sober living community brand. We're trying to inspire sober living through the outdoors and connect people with the outdoors. I've spent over 10 years working in drug and alcohol treatment, so I was exposed to the worst consequences of alcohol use on a daily basis. Understanding addiction practices and how they work as well in recovery models made me really reflect on my own drinking habits and my own addictive behaviors. And in 20, I think I was, would have been around 21, 22, I was getting really bad anxiety going out, you know, drinking every weekend. And that was just seen as the norm. That was what you did if you were from the Northwest of Liverpool. And I think we've been exposed to the worst consequences of, you know, drug and alcohol use, you know, being in therapy groups and things like that. It made me really self-aware. I suffered really bad, like I say, with anxiety the day after drinking. And going back to when I was a bit younger, I remember watching Jack Osborne's Adrenaline Junkie. I'm not sure if anyone would have watched that when I was younger. I probably should have started from when I was younger. So like when I grew up, you know, culture was all for me around, you know, punk pop music, skateboarding and things like that. And I got into rock music, discovered, you know, Ozzy Osbourne and Jack Osbourne and things like that. And Jack Osbourne was the first person that I saw that had, you know, been through problems with drugs and alcohol, been into rehab and really transformed his life. And I remember watching his Adrenaline Junkie series, and he basically come out of rehab, transformed his life and was taking part in these like amazing adrenaline fuel activities, like doing I think he did an ultra marathon through the Sahara Desert. And remember, that was the first time I'd seen anybody live a, you know, a sober life and it be really inspiring and thinking, you know, I want that. But I think I would have only been 16, 17 at the time. And that always kind of, I suppose, kept me sober curious in the back of my mind. And, you know, went out with my friends, drank loads in my early 20s. And when the hangovers started to hit where they hurt and I was getting really bad anxiety, I thought I need to kind of change my life. But there was no sober curious movement. There were no alcohol free drinks. It was pre-Instagram days. And I very much felt alone in my decision to want to stop drinking. There was no one around me that wanted me to stop drinking. And there was no one around me that didn't drink. You know, being sober, you were always associated with, you know, having a dependence. And so luckily for me, around that time, I got into photography and fitness. And those were the two things that really transformed my life. So my fitness journey gave me confidence. It gave me discipline. It made me really work on myself and challenge myself. It was the first time in my life really where I got out exactly what I put in. So I kind of became addicted with bodybuilding. That was like my go-to. And, you know, if I trained hard and looked after my diet, that translated into results. And that was the first time that I got like a real confidence boost. Cause I think when I was growing up in school, I was always quite a shy kid. I wasn't that confident, but I was, you know, good at sports and good at creative subjects. Yeah, so, and then the photography came alongside that. So I started getting into photography and I felt guilty. You know, every weekend, some people say they get FOMO, fear of missing out, watching the friends, you know, going out and, you know, going out to town, drinking and things like that. But for me, I was laying in bed, hungover every weekend on Facebook and Flickr and seeing my favorite photographers go out on camping trips, exploring the mountains and all that kind of stuff, especially in the US. Some of them were actually in Oregon as well that you mentioned before. And I just thought there's got to be more to life than this. Every week, all my energy was consumed kind of longing for that, you know, release on a Friday night. I'd go out on a Friday night, get drunk with my mates, and then sometimes drink on the Saturday as well. Sunday was always a write-off, and then, you know, drag myself back to work on the Monday. And I just felt trapped, unfulfilled. And wasn't happy in myself. And I didn't have the confidence to, you know, stop drinking. So the more I trained, the less I drank. And over 2 years, I probably went from drinking like every single weekend, both nights, to maybe every weekend, you know, one night, once every other weekend, and really kind of scaled it down to the point where I think my last year, I only drank like 3 or 4 times. And once I started to get perspective of, you know, sober time, so maybe I didn't drink for 3 months, I'd actually start dreading going on those nights out because the hangovers always hit harder because you've got that, you know, that healthy time, so to speak, in between you and your last drink. But again, I wasn't confident enough to tell people that I wasn't drinking. And sometimes you could be met with resistance from your friend group. Say it was somebody's birthday, you'd be invited to go out for them and you drank for them. You caved to peer pressure. It was someone else's birthday the next week, but they'd take offense to you not drinking for their event and think, you know, you're not being fair from a friendship point of view. So yeah, it all kind of changed for me. So I, again, from the confidence that I'd gained from, you know, going to the gym, doing bodybuilding, kicking on with my career as well, that improved in my photography. I was working for a drug and alcohol charity at the time, and I was the only staff member out of, I think, about 200 people that wasn't job matched. And I'd always wanted to go traveling. I'd seen my friends do it. Going back to Jack Osborne, I'd seen him go traveling and live, you know, life on his own terms. So I booked a one-way ticket to Australia, got my work and holiday visa, and I went with the intention of not drinking. And I went out a couple of times. I bumped into a lad I actually went to school with. Within the first week of being there, he invited me out. And again, I caved to the peer pressure. It was, you're in Australia, you're traveling, you've got to have beers, the weather's nice and all that kind of thing. So I had a few drinks with him. And then he invited me out again. And the next time I went out with him, he said to me, you're drinking? I said, no. And he said, you need to knock this no drinking on the head because you're not going to have a good time. And that was the catalyst for me to take the 1 year no alcohol challenge. I just thought, I've arrived in Australia, you know, I've saved up money for this. I don't want to be spending it all on alcohol. I want to do what Jack Osborne did. I want to travel around the world, do all of these amazing things and not let alcohol get in the way and travel on my own terms. And I had the real mindset, which I see quite a lot of people in the sober curious community of that honeymoon period when you first start, you're wanting to show everyone that, you know, your life is fun. It's not boring without alcohol. So I set myself a 1 year no alcohol challenge. Again, didn't have the confidence to commit to never drinking again because it was quite daunting and the stigma attached to that. And spent the year in Australia with the money that I saved from not drinking. I was able to extend the trip. So I spent a year in Australia. I visited Dubai, New Zealand. I was able to extend my trip to live in America for 3 months and visited Australia, Dubai, Bermuda, America, and the US. And when I was in Australia, I did like scuba diving, skydiving. I had an aviation lesson over Sydney Harbour, toured the South Island of New Zealand in a camper van. I did all of these amazing things. And I honestly believe if I'd been swept into that drinking lifestyle when I first arrived, that I wouldn't have been able to afford to do all these things. And I would have slipped back into maybe my old lifestyle as well. When I returned back to the UK, I relocated down to Oxford because the thought of moving back to the world after being, you know, all around the world for 16 months was quite a depressing thought. So I moved down to...
I feel like we should say at this point, you know, as you know, Scott, we met because I work at BBC Radio Merseyside.
Yeah.
We're all part of Merseyside. And I'd like to say at this point, for balance and impartiality, the Wirral is one of my favourite places in the world. It's beautiful and it's lovely. I mean, I suppose it's not quite as exciting as I can imagine that, you know, Australia has certain qualities that the Wirral doesn't possess. But just for balance, isn't the Wirral lovely?
Oh, yeah, I agree. And I've transformed my view on this now. And COVID, which I'll come on to later, like made me really appreciate the UK. And you don't always have to be travelling to these amazing places to be happy. So yeah, I committed to a second year when I got home. Again, faced quite a bit of stigma from some people about, you know, being boring and things like that. But I quickly realized that people who, you know, were true friends supported my decision to abstain from alcohol and I distanced myself from negativity and, you know, built new relationships through things like photography and, you know, exploring and things like that. Once I completed 2 years alcohol free, that was the time that I decided that I was never going to drink again. And I'll be 9 years alcohol free in May this year. So that's my story.
Amazing.
Absolutely brilliant.
Amazing.
Scott, that's so good.
Scott, how old are you, if you don't mind me asking?
35.
35. Okay, yeah, because we've got exactly the same references. I grew up listening to Fall Out Boy, Foo Fighters. I tried to skate, but I wasn't very good at it. I still had the dreddy jeans with the chain on. Do you remember them?
Yeah.
The dreddies with the... Yeah, we are bang on the same age. Absolutely growing up in that same culture. I remember exactly watching the Osbournes and seeing Jack Osborne do all those things, actually. It reminds me of one of my favourite quotes, which is, or favourite phrases, because I don't know who said it. I'm a quotes guy, Scott, and I've got a quotes board here, and this is bang in the middle of it. If you can see it, you can be it. I absolutely love that phrase, and I think that it applies to so many different aspects of life. But what you're saying here is that when you were 16, 17, you looked at Jack Osborne, and that kind of sober curiosity seed was planted at such a young age. Do you think that, you know, if you hadn't seen Jack Osborne go through recovery and absolutely change his life in that way, do you think that that would have ever, like, would the thought of, because you said that you were very self-aware and obviously working in the drug and alcohol service as well, helped you reflect on your own habits. Do you think you would have ever come to the decision to remove alcohol without those external influences, I suppose? Or was it important that the environment that you were in at that time showed you this other way of potentially living?
For me, I knew I had a problem with alcohol, but a lot of people who I worked with and people that knew me didn't see it as a problem. I always say now the easiest way I've been able to understand that is I just ask the simple question, can you drink without consequences? And I couldn't drink without consequences. And my consequences to a lot of people were quite trivial. Or you've got a hangover, or you spent a bit of money on alcohol, or you're not staying true to your health and fitness goals, or you might be less motivated. But that's just what you do, right? You get drunk and you accept those consequences. But I didn't accept those consequences. And I think following Jack Osborne and his journey definitely planted the seed with me. But I think at some points subconsciously I've obviously been inspired by him, but then I've wanted to lead by example, and think that's what I'm trying to do now, and hopefully people are inspired by, you know, my journey. But maybe just the way I'm made up, I'm very sensitive to, you know, alcohol, I'm very sensitive to caffeine and things like that. Like, I don't even drink coffee, because when I drink it I feel quite overstimulated and I have a crash off it, and when I have a crash I feel quite, you know, irritable and anxious, because it's a stimulant at the end of the day. So recently I've started drinking a matcha. I've got a 2-year-old daughter, so I need a bit more energy these days with her, so that's what I go to. But I'm very intentional about having matcha, because it is a slow release and you don't get the crash off it. So I think I've always been sensitive to what I consume. I think that, yeah, I probably would have realized that the alcohol was a problem, but I was fighting a lot of stigma and a lot of, you know, public perception as well about what an alcohol problem is. And I think when you're knowing the brain and how, you know, the amygdala works, and that, you know, that that part of you that wants the dopamine hit, wants the GABA hit, you know, it's very clever, and it would say to me, you know, you're working in drug and alcohol treatments, you know, you've got your life together, you know, you're going to the gym, you're doing photography, you're not drinking in the morning, you're only drinking 2 days a week and things like that. And it would give me all of these reasons as to why I should carry on drinking. But luckily I had the self-awareness at the time that I would constantly challenge those voices, because I knew how it worked.
Can we talk a bit more about mental health, Scott? You've mentioned a few times about the hangovers and the anxiety that you would feel in the days after. So two parts of the question, really. For anybody that doesn't know, please explain what hangxiety is, because it's like a mixture of hangover and anxiety, isn't it? We'll talk a bit more about that. And then I want to talk more broadly about the improvements to your mental health, because I'm looking at your website and your bio and reading a little bit more about you, and it's dead simple here. It's got your different headings and your different, you know, bits of information. Mental health, you just said I'm happier, and you know, obviously you talk about how you used to feel and how you feel now, but can we just delve into that a little bit more, and how you did feel with the anxiety, and how now 10 years sober you've moved towards happiness?
Yeah, I think part of what fueled the anxiety was because I knew that I was unfulfilled and not living to my true potential. I felt quite trapped. So there was that, you know, regret of drinking, maybe the shame and guilt. I was never somebody that when I went on a night out would, you know, cause loads of trouble, loads of problems or trouble or go missing. I was just quite a, you know, an average drinker, if that makes sense. It wasn't like I was waking up every morning with like terrible regrets. Like, what did I do? You know, I had blackouts and things like that. It was just, I think that just that routine of just waking up every, you know, Saturday morning, just hungover and feeling, you know, anxious. And a lot of the time it was about nothing. There was nothing to be anxious about, but it was just what the alcohol did to me, because it is a depressant, and the knock-on effect it would have for the rest of my weekend. And like I say, luckily I had my fitness and my photography, and alcohol was getting in the way of my photography, because my creative work felt very dull, and I felt regret about not spending weekends, you know, going to Snowdonia and things like that. And my fitness journey, it was interfering with all of like my fitness goals as well. So Yeah, anxiety is grim. I think I think everyone experiences it. I know some people report they have anxiety after, you know, just one or two drinks. I've noticed actually, because I've been, you know, sober for quite a long time, if I go to a wedding and, you know, I really look forward to wedding, seeing my friends and that. But if it gets to 1-2 in the morning, and like last Friday, I went to see Gaslight Anthem in Manchester, and I didn't get home till 2 in the morning because I was the designated driver, dropping my two friends off for drinking.
That is so late. Scott, that is so late.
Yeah. And so I woke up on Saturday morning, I think it was about 7 a.m, and it was a bit of a trigger. Like I felt like I'd been drinking the night before a little, because that lack of sleep, we're losing 1 or 2 hours of sleep. And I know now that when I'm overtired, that makes me feel anxious, and I associate it with like the anxiety. So I am convinced anxiety is a combination of quite a few things, maybe being overstimulated, having a lack of sleep, being dehydrated from the water, and obviously the way the GABA works with the brain as well.
You know what I love about what you just said there about the anxiety, Scott, it's an angle I've not heard really before. We talk about this all the time, but what you're saying is that it's not about what you did last night, it's about what you didn't do today.
Yeah,
I think that's a really interesting perspective on it. It doesn't matter what you did last night, you're not doing that thing that you said you were going to do today.
Yeah, I know. I was quite good, and again, the sense I wasn't somebody who would like always let people down, but there were times where like we'd have the best intentions, like you said before, of let's go and climb Snowdon next weekend, and it would just never happen. And as time went on, I just felt more trapped and more unfulfilled. Sorry, what was the second part of your question?
It wasn't really a question, it was just praising your approach. Just saying, I really like that angle.
No, I came at Scott with two.
Oh, your question. Yeah, sorry. It was about mental health.
Yeah, about mental health. Talking about exactly what you've just described there, the anxiety and how you felt in the days or hours after drinking, but then you now say that you're happy, and I think it takes so long sometimes for people to put the two together, that this thing, this substance, this alcohol, is causing the anxiety. You know, I know so many people that would have drunk because of anxiety, you know, thinking that's helping, when actually it's like pouring petrol on a fire. Remove it, and then you're able to deal with the emotions, aren't you? You're able to tackle your mental health. And ultimately, I mean, and we always say this, Scott, you know, it comes with a big disclaimer. Life still goes on. Of course it does. You still face challenges, but overall, you do become happier, I think.
Yeah, that's something that I'm finding it quite hard, because I'm obviously pushing like the sober living narrative, and I want people to, you know, that you can be happy without alcohol, and, you know, being sober, being alcohol free is fun, and it's the best thing that happened to me, and I am overall happier. But it's also just being transparent as well. Like, I'll be 9 years alcohol free in May this year, and my life is by no means perfect. I've been through some really difficult times over the past couple of years, but I take comfort in knowing that I've not had to lean on alcohol to deal with them as well. So it's obviously, I don't want to be kind of too negative about it, because I'd never want to discourage people from having sobriety. But I also feel like I've got the responsibility to let people know that a lot of people do have the honeymoon period at the start, and it's, you know, it's amazing, it's wonderful. But at some point for me, life did kind of just adjust, and me not drinking is the new norm, and you still have, you know, challenges and hurdles to overcome, and disappointments and let down. So I feel like it's really important for that, for people to understand that as well. But I am definitely overall happier. I feel like I've obviously grown a lot since that time as well. I'm in my mid 30s now. I was, I think, 26 when I stopped drinking. And I always feel like as a person, I should be evolving and growing. My favorite quote is that life is less complicated without a hangover. And that's what it always goes back to for me. You know, life's hard. There's lots of challenges that come my way, but I take comfort in, you know, not waking up with a hangover and having my daughter who's 2 years old. Well, she'll be 2 years old tomorrow. Again, it's about being more present for her and present for people around me.
Happy birthday. Happy birthday.
There's so many parallels with our lives, Scott, because I've got an 18-month-old.
Awesome.
Did you like Fall Out Boy?
Yeah, I was into Fall Out Boy bands back in the day. So I went to see Blink-182 in October.
Amazing. Really, yeah, I remember seeing them at the...
I went to NIA. See them.
Did you really?
I went to see them. Yes, yeah. I did.
Did you take off your pants and jacket?
No, But I do remember being very, very drunk at the gig. So this was a long, long time ago. But yeah, I was into Blonk 182.
Sounds like you were. Sounds like you were. I'm going to come back at you with another quote then, Scott, as you're also a quotes guy, it turns out. Many similarities. Our community member, Maz, once said that being alcohol-free is one of the least interesting things about me. What do you think about that? As a, you know, what you're saying there is that you kind of, you have that initial period where you're, you know, the pink clouds potentially, and then it starts to become normal. You see, from my perspective, I think that's what we're striving for here with Over the Influence, really, is that we want to help people to become happy, confident, non-drinkers, so that it's not always something that's you're thinking about constantly, you know, drinking, not drinking. It just becomes, my name's Ben, I'm 35. I'm dad to Leo, stepdad to Alfie and Billy, husband to Jem, all of these things. Oh, and by the way, I don't drink.
Yeah, I think maybe the spin I'd come at it from, or the angle, is since becoming a parent, you very much realise that life is about routine. There's not a lot that really changes apart from the weekends, but I just want like a slow and simple and consistent life. And for me, stability is one of the most important things. And I'm most productive and effective, you know, when I'm, you know, at home, I've got my desk and things, I can come in and dip out of work, having a steady and stable gym routine, steady and stable diet and things like that. And for me, knowing how my brain works, I think there'll always be part of me that will try and self-sabotage. And for me, that can be like my diet. So you may be eating junk food at the weekend and things like that to try and get that, maybe that escapism when times, you know, get stressful. There's a stressful period that I was going through in my life a couple of years ago, and I noticed I put on quite a lot of weight, and I think that was my way of dealing with the stress and things. So things like that still do come my way, but I think the narrative is changing. I feel with the younger generation, Gen Z, they're growing up on social media, they're growing up on smartphones. One, they don't want to be recorded, they're mindful of that. But two, obviously in the world of Instagram and TikTok, you know, everybody's outdoors, everybody's having ice baths, everybody's doing wild swimming, which is great to see. But I feel like the younger generation have got they don't want to be in bed hungover the weekends. They want to be, you know, they get FOMO from seeing people go out and doing all of these activities on a weekend. So obviously that's not seen as boring, but for me, like, I think I like the balance of, you know, going away and exploring, but also having like a steady life that might be perceived as boring. But you know, I don't think my life is boring, and if it is, there's nothing wrong with it.
You know what though, Scott, this generation now, the Gen Z, you had Jack, well, we had, you know, Jack Osborne. Yeah. They've got Bradley Cooper, Blake Lively, Daniel Radcliffe, Drew Barrymore, Zac Efron, Anne Hathaway, Ben Affleck, Calvin Harris at the Brits. It was awesome. There was a bit in the Brits this year where Roman Kemp, who was hosting it, went across to Calvin Harris, the world's biggest DJ, and his wife, Vic Hope. And they were doing a shot and he went, oh, yep, that one's water for you, Calvin, because I know it's all about body and mind. He just kind of, and Calvin was like, yep, cool. You know, in front of millions of people watching on TV, you know, that's got to have an impact too.
Yeah, I think there's lots of stigma. So I had it when I was into bodybuilding, you know, comments from people, oh, is that boring? You know, you're eating the same foods every time, you're not eating chocolate and things like that. There was this, you know, stigma attached to that. When I first started taking photos, like I say, this was pre-influencer. Influencer hadn't been established. So I was always kind of seen as, you know, the nerdy person that had a camera with him, and people would say, why are you taking photos of your food? And everyone does that now. And, you know, I was judged for that. When I stopped drinking alcohol, I was judged for that. But I always feel that it's the people you... When you do stop drinking, you really do learn who the people are who have your best interests at heart. And if people are being negative towards your decision to remove alcohol from your life or be more intentional about what it is you consume, then they're probably not, you know, the best people. And I always feel that when you do stop drinking, you'll hopefully take part in new activities and new hobbies and interests, and then you'll meet people along the way who have that, you know, that shared vision and things like that. Some of my closest friends still drink, you know, I don't judge them for it at all. And, you know, they'd be the people that would go out of their way if we were on a night out and somebody made a comment about me being boring because I wasn't drinking and having my back. So I feel like that's quite important as well, having the right people around you.
let's talk more about, and I'm going to quote you again from your website, inspiring sober living through the great outdoors. This is a theme that comes up time and time again in sobriety. I'm laughing because it's something we do as well over the influence, except I'm still physically and mentally recovering from what occurred at the weekend just gone, which was England's highest mountain. But it was something else. But you know what? It's just... It's incredible. We've had.
I'm laughing.
Ben, stop.
I'm laughing because I just keep getting like flashbacks of memory. One of my favourite lines from you on the mountain at the weekend. I was like, "Come on, Shaz, we can do it." And you went, "I've only got little legs."
I'm only 5'3"
It wasn't your day on Saturday, was it?
It wasn't my finest hour. But got to the top. You know, we made it. That's what counts. But yeah, I'm thinking back to some of the guests we've had on the podcast.
Sabre Trekker, Miles Bingham.
Miles Bingham, the Sabre Trekker. The guy
Parkin.
From Cumbria.
That was
Dan Parkin.
And that was Fancy a Walk, mate. The guy from Cumbria is Harrison Ward, the Fell Foodie.
Harrison Ward. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. All these guys, all of a similar age to yourself, Scott, all, you know, had their own issues with alcohol. And then once they found that freedom, so much connection with nature, so much time spent in the great outdoors. What is it for you? How does that work for you, Scott?
I think for me, it may have been the reverse way around. So like I was saying, I discovered photography whilst I was drinking, and that was what was making me feel, you know, unfulfilled, because I wanted to pursue my photography. My photography led me to connect with the outdoors, and that was what I wanted to pursue. And, you know, at first I started shooting like street photography and things like that, but I really found, I think when I was in Australia and, you know, you're surrounded by beautiful coastlines and the Blue Mountains and things like that, that really made me connect with the outdoors. Part of it as well as for Arklet is I'd spent so long shooting and, you know, doing creative work, like, you know, brand building and graphic design and things like that. I had this huge portfolio of content that I really wanted to leverage on. It's obviously amazing to be commissioned to, you know, shoot content for other brands, but I wanted to kind of pull all my skill sets together and build Arklet. So that's why a lot of the content is centered around the outdoors. But when I'm outdoors with my family, that's when I feel most, I think, most present, most fulfilled. All the life stresses seem to go away. I think the turning point was probably when I, in 2014, just before I went traveling, I booked a solo trip to Switzerland. And on New Year's Eve, I was in Grindelwald in the Swiss Alps. And as the sun was setting over the mountain called the Eiger, I grabbed my camera and took a photo of it, and I just remember having like a huge wave of dopamine over me, because I was one stoked with like the photo, stoked with the light, and just stoked with like the moments. And that was the first, you know, trip on my own where I didn't drink, and that was what inspired me then to, you know, continue with my photography and continue traveling, and where I really got the confidence to want to come away from alcohol for like a longer period of time. But the outdoors is great for everyone. And when I founded Arklet, I didn't really want to get sucked into the low and no movements and the alcohol-free bars and things like that, because the whole point is trying to, for me, I wanted to fill the void that was left by, you know, going out with my friends, drinking and things like that. So that's why I'm trying to encourage people to get outside as an alternative lifestyle. But at the same time, I do think it's amazing that bars are being more inclusive, and there's been a couple of bars on the Wirral, which is where I live. They've seen me sharing stats on low and no alcohol and the Gen Z and the sober curious movements, and then invited me to go and launch and collaborate on an event for them to start stocking low and no alcohol. So I have found myself going back to bars and being involved with alcohol free brands and stuff. I'm obviously very passionate about that, but the whole point of Arklet is trying to get people outdoors as a different lifestyle, because a lot of people, you know, don't want to go to pubs and things like that because it can be quite triggering. And for me, when I stopped drinking, there was no, like I said, there was no alcohol free drinks market. I think there may have only been Beck's Blue. So when I go out now, I don't drink alcohol-free drinks. It'll just be like a Pepsi Max or something like that. But I know there's a lot of people that absolutely still love going out and love going to alcohol-free bars and love that space. Whereas for me, it's, I wanted to pursue a different lifestyle.
I think it's absolutely fantastic what you're doing. And I think anybody, you know, wanting to share about sobriety and share the positives, it's only a good thing. But how do you do that without pissing people off? Now, by this I mean, I'm thinking specifically young men. I had a similar sort of actually conversation with the last guest on the pod, Dan from our community, just hit a year. And again, I think he's only a couple of years older than you, you know, late 30s. And what always strikes me is it's hard. It's really, really hard for, it's hard for anybody. I get that. But I'm thinking when you did this in your 20s, for young men that are on the sesh and that's all they know, you know, be it 20s into your 30s, how do you break through and go, oh, you know, you sort of, when you've been there and done it and you've got your crystal ball, you can see what's on the other side. So you know that sobriety is going to be good. But I remember when I was in the throes of drinking, if somebody had said to me, Shaz, yeah, sober life, I'd have said, shut up. I am literally not interested. How do you get that message across to groups of young men whose, you know, their existence is very much, for some people, their social life is their life. You know, they might not have much else going on. And if that's what they cling on to and enjoy. How do you say that?
I used to say, when people say, oh, what are your hobbies? I used to go, socialising.
Yeah, socialising, drinking.
Tracy's nodding. It's community member watching the Zoom. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's right though, isn't it? I think if you're of a certain age where you've not got the responsibilities of a family or a home or whatever it might be, you know, you've still got your income to spend on what you wish. I think it's hard for young fellas. And how do you get that message across without coming across as a preachy, boring arsehole? I didn't mean you, by the way, Matt. That sounded terrible.
Yeah, it's just, you know, you're just looking straight down the Zoom, straight as Scott.
No. You know, because we do this week in, week out. You're saying about the same things and it's good and in sober life, brilliant, and get to 100 days. And you don't want to come across as preachy or some sort of bloody weirdo. But at the same time, you know, we feel so passionate about wanting people to understand and know that actually there is another way on the other side of it. It's beautiful, but it's just not always easy getting
there.
Yeah,
I think so. When I did my first sober post, I think it was 8 months in, and it was literally just, you know, 8 months alcohol-free, 9 months alcohol-free, feeling the best I've ever felt, feeling healthy, fitter and stronger, I think it was. It was pretty brief, that was it. And then I did like another post, I think a year in, and then another post 2 years in, but there was nothing to it. And when we were in the pandemic, that was when I really wanted to, I think, just give back and open up a bit more on my sober story. So my Instagram, my social media was always around photography. And I put this a lot of time and work into this sober story, and the post went viral. I think there was 500 people that saved it to the phone to bookmark it to reread it, and there were loads of people messaging me. And I think that post resonated quite widely because it wasn't anti-alcohol, and that's one of the, you know, the values of myself and the values of ARCLA. I'm not anti-alcohol, I'm pro-choice. The only thing I'm anti really is stigma, and the way I think communicated the message about being alcohol free, I think adding the transparency, like I said before, and letting people know that, you know, I don't have a superiority complex. My life is by no means perfect. I still have to go through struggles, but life's less complicated without a hangover. And I actually broke the post into like a carousel and focused on different areas of my life and how it had improved. I'm really not a fan of the, you know, the shock tactics and being anti-alcohol. Like I say, some of my friends drink, and if you drink, some people can drink responsibly, and that's a choice for them at the end of the day. But I've always been quite, I think, grounded with my sober journey and really not tried to push it on anyone else. And I love the quote, be the change you wish to see in the world. And that's what I'm trying to follow. That's how I try and live day by day. And I want to lead by example. And that's why a lot of the, you know, the marketing and the social media for ARCLA is quite like gentle, if that makes sense, like with a soft tone of voice and letting people think about it and reflect on it rather than, you know, just really quick, like forceful information. I think, again, I keep going back to this, but I was never really a socialite, and I think for me it came down to having the photography and the fitness, having two things that I really wanted to do, and the alcohol was getting in the way of. I was prepared to cut the alcohol off, maybe lose some friends along the way, maybe be seen as boring or whatever, but no longer term. It's about sacrificing the short term for the long term. And I do feel for a lot of young men, especially, you know, being on the world, you know, life is very much about, you know, going to the football, getting drunk with your friends. And, you know, there's people out there who live that lifestyle that are happy, and who am I to say that you shouldn't do that?
Yeah, completely. I agree with that massively, Scott. And it's choice, isn't it? It's all about choice. But on the flip side of that, there'll be an awful lot of people that are living that life that, like you were, you know, living it miserably. And it's about how you gently sort of say and share, that it can be done differently without being alcohol's awful. Don't do that, because we're like that, aren't we, Ben? I think over the influence.
You know what? There's so many parallels here. And I was going to say, Scott, Chaz earlier said, I think what you're doing is fantastic. Is that because Scott's doing what we're doing? You know, we're very
similar. You know.
I'd love to quickly ask you your thoughts on that, Scott, before we have to wrap up, because we're running out of time, as we always do on this podcast. But there are so many similarities between what you're doing with Arklet and what we're doing with Over the Influence. You know, do you think there's enough room in the space for all of us, Scott?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's never too late to start to enter this space, and it's never too late to, you know, improve or stop your relationship with alcohol. I actually did a post, I think it was last week, on milestones, and it was a poll, because I saw somebody say that seeing miles, something that comes up quite a lot in this space is you don't drink, so why do you talk about it all the time? But obviously it's about inspiring others. And when I shared my sober story in lockdown, the feedback I got from somebody who had a problem with alcohol was my post had inspired them to stop drinking. And I keep in contact with them, and they're 3 years alcohol free now. And I don't take any credit for that. That's just me sharing my story. And that was what led to the inspiration behind Arklet, because I've shared my own sober story and seen the impact that it can have. But everyone's different. Some people, you know, stop drinking and they don't want to talk about it anymore. I love the Sober Curious community, because people, I feel like we're really humanizing the message, and there's, you know, real people with real stories, and we're all in it together, and everybody's got their own different take on it. Like, some people love milestones, tracking them, others see it as maybe a barrier because it's, you know, so far ahead if somebody's drunk less time. I just think it's great that people are being more intentional with what they consume, and I feel like this movement's only going to grow longer term. And I think everyone says, oh, I wish I'd stopped drinking sooner. But for me, you know, I look back at similar life to Ben, you know, going to these festivals and things like that, and some of those are like good memories as well. So it's formed the person that I am today. And I feel like my life's kind of going in the right direction at the right pace, if that makes sense.
You're sort of, it's like you're exactly where you're supposed to be, type thing.
Yeah, and that's the other thing, like the irony with social media is that it's designed to make you think that you should be somewhere else and doing something better. And there's the comparisons as well. And I always say sober inspiration is no substitute for professional support, and sharing sober stories as well. Sometimes people might read a sober story and think, you know, why does this person seem to be on cloud nine and having the best life ever, and I've not drank for as long as them, but I'm not happy. And they might have significant issues that need addressing, and the person who shared the sober story might have, you know, other problems going on that they've, you know, not spoke about. So social media, you know, is great, but sometimes don't always, you know, compare yourself to others, because it is I think it's quite unsustainable. And, you know, I'm a firm believer in slow and steady and being sustainable with these things as well. But I think, yeah, the Sober Curious community is only going to go one way, and all the stats, the evidence is there. The alcohol-free drinks market's increased by 500% since 2015. I think one in four pub visits now alcohol-free. Public health are really starting to pay attention to the alcohol-free movement. And yeah, I just think it's great. Even if somebody goes from drinking every single weekend to once a month, I see that as a success. It's just about being more intentional about what you can consume. For me, like I say, I cut alcohol out of my life because it was giving me really bad anxiety and making me feel trapped and unfulfilled. But there's other people out there that might drink the same amount, and, you know, it doesn't impact them in the same way.
Got a message that's come into the chat box. I'm not sure if you've seen it, Scott. We can only compare ourselves to our previous selves. Tracy, that's deep.
Yeah, I love that.
That's deep.
You'll be on Ben's quote board. Tracy,
you know what?
Get it on there.
Please let me know who to attribute that to. Is it a Tracy original? No, can't hear you. Can't hear you because you're not on the recording. Maybe one day we should get Tracy on as a guest. Anyway, we're going off on one. Scott, how can we support you in what you're doing? You know, in terms of community over connection, community over competition. Oh, it is a Tracy original. I'm going to put that on my quotes board. We can only compare ourselves to our previous selves. Trace. But, you know, what can we plug for you? We've got thousands of people who listen to this all over the world. Give us your website. Give us your social media. Tell us what events we can come on. Plug, Scott.
So the website is www.arclet, so that's A-R-C-L-E-T-T .com. All of the socials are the same, so at Arclet, A-R-C-L-E-T-T. Follow us on social media, check out the website. That's the best place to stay, you know, up to date with any events that are up and coming. I post pretty much every day, so I do share a lot of stats on, you know, low and no alcohol or sober curious movements. I get engaged in different topics as well. We share sober stories. We have a journal. We've had a couple of videos commissioned as well. So hopefully in the noise of social media, if you do connect with us, you'll feel quite calm, you know, when the content pops up, and it might inspire you to go on a hike or, you know, connect with the mountains or go for maybe a wild swim or something like that instead of you know, going to the bar at the bars. And there's lots of people in the community as well that, you know, will come that will be connected with your accounts too. So yeah, there is also a stigma attached to following accounts. So I'm not sure if you've noticed this, but there's people that maybe don't interact with any of the posts, don't, you know, like or comment, but then they'll just drop you a message one day out of nowhere and say, oh, thanks so much for what you're doing, you know, your content really inspires me. And I was thinking, oh, that, you know, that's amazing to hear, but they don't interact with any of the content. But then I put myself in, you know, my shoes when I was younger, and maybe I wouldn't want to be seen to be following a sober account, because if your employer sees that, there could be stigma attached. So it is a very grey area, but I feel like, you know, we're all using social media for a positive.
Absolutely.
Scott Woolley, it's been an absolute pleasure. We've taken a look at your website and your socials, and it's, you know what? It's just the colours and the pictures, and it just makes me feel calm. Yeah. It's just really, really beautiful, sober content. Fill your boots, take a look at those. And Scott, I think you've done all right there for your first podcast. It's been a pleasure. We've hoped you've enjoyed it as much as we have.
Yeah, thank you. It's been awesome, and thanks for the opportunity, guys.